everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me today are two awesome guests, so I'm going to have them introduce themselves. So why don't you go first, and then we'll go to you.
Okay. Hi, my name is Harini Gupta. I'm a program manager on the database experimentation team within the data group.
Okay.
My name is Dinesh Kothotil. I'm an engineering manager in the data experimentation team.
Okay, great. So thanks for coming. It's a pleasure to have you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
So we've heard a lot about, I've had some people in here talking about like the data migration assistants and all these kind of things, but I've never heard of the data experimentation assistant.
That's because it's new.
Okay, good. Well, then tell us about it. What is this?
So this is actually a very new tool for helping customers migrate from a lower version of SQL Server to a higher version.
Okay.
So you might have heard of Data Migration Assistant and other sister tools with it. This is kind of like a supplement to that.
Okay.
So this does, if you have heard of, have you heard of A-B testing?
Yep.
So this is A-B testing for database systems.
Okay.
That's what it is. So people have, like, as you can see, like majority of our SQL customers are in 2008 or below.
Yep.
And they want to go to 2016. And they are today, they're hesitant in migrating due to the complexity and the risks that are involved in it.
Okay.
So with this tool, they'll be able to get any understand any breaking changes that go with it, or even any performance implications that can come when they move to a newer version, and they can upgrade the to the newer version much more with much more confidence.
Okay. But doesn't, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Because doesn't the migration assistant also do an analysis of, hey, breaking changes and things like that?
Migration assistant kind of do it more like a rules-based engine kind of a thing, right? It doesn't really do a workload comparison. Think about this as actually trying to look at your workload in production and then trying to see, like, how does your workload run against a newer version, right?
Okay.
Upgrade is one scenario for us, but you can think about it as doing many different kinds of experiments. Like, you can do, like, a feature on and off. You know, as a DBA, you want to turn on a feature and off a feature. So it's kind of like a generic A-B testing solution. Upgrade is one of the biggest scenario right now that we are supporting, but the same thing can be used for other scenarios too.
To summarize, DMA actually does static code analysis, whereas this, as Dinesh mentioned, it does a lot more than that in terms of workload comparison.
Correct.
Using real workloads too, right?
Okay.
So that's what it is.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Is there a point in time, another loaded question, maybe a point in time where these become maybe the same tool, or because if I'm a, you know, an ISV and I'm like, well, I got to run this tool and I got to run that tool,
right?
There is a lot. We've been thinking about it. There is potential for this to merge in terms of scenario, but right now they're just separate tools. But that kind of finishes the end-to-end migration.
Yeah. Okay. Story. And that makes sense. Maybe as we flush out the how do I say this? So we flush out the complexity of each tool.
Yeah,
right? Great, we got it to a point where we, you know, they're baked.
Right.
Good.
Correct.
Type of thing.
That's right. Yes.
Perfect.
This makes total sense.
All right, what's
so
next?
So let me walk you through the high-level experiment setup here before we dive into the demo. So let's say we have, this is a scenario is the customer is moving from SQL 2008 to 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a production environment of 2008, and which is where we're capturing all the SQL traces.
Okay.
And which we and then they have a test environment. They have two instances there. One is one that mimics the SQL 2008 environment, as well as their second instance would have the SQL 2006, which 16, which is the target.
Okay.
This is A and B that we are talking about.
Right, okay.
So we are using DEA, the database experimentation tool, to replay whatever they've captured in A into these two test environments.
Okay. Perfect. All right.
Once you're done that, then DEA processes and analyzes the traces that you get out of the A and B.
Okay.
And then it shows in a nice UI report that contains the detailed performance and error-related data.
Let me make sure. Can we back up real quick and apologize for the stupid question? So I've got an A in since it's SQL 2008.
Right.
Correct.
I'm going to replay that against another 2008 instance as well as a 2016 instance?
Right. And there is a reason why. It's a good point, actually. There's a reason why we've done that. Typically in a production environment, you know, DBAs and app owners don't like too much of, you know, performance overhead on the system.
Right.
So we want to make the performance overhead by turning on a trace capturing on the production system minimal.
Okay.
So what we do in the first step when we capture the trace on the production system, we only capture a subset of the trace events.
Okay.
That just gives me the workload. That's all we need.
Yeah.
And the rest of the stuff, we can do it in a non-production environment, but still you can do an A-B testing comparing apples to apples.
Okay.
As long as the A primes and B are kind of similar hardware configuration and things like that.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so it gives me that comparison of where I'm at, right? Kind of a base level type of scenario.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. Glad you caught on to that, though.
Okay, well, I looked at that one. Okay, why am I rerunning it?
Yep.
Okay. Because if I'm asking it, someone else is going to ask
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm going to ask the dumb, you know, the I shouldn't call them dumb questions. I'm going to ask the obvious questions because,
yes.
you know,
this comes from customer a lot. So it's about, we did 1.5% is the overhead on CPU when we do this on the production environment, which is kind of really small, actually. If you think about it,
But it's, what's nice is that, hey, when I'm done, I get this nice report that goes, hey, you know, here's what. Right, that's kind of cool.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So that's and with that we'll kick off the demo.
This is the sort of like when you enter into DEA. On the left side, you see three features: capturing, replaying, and analysis. Right? Haruni just talked about that in the architectural diagram. So essentially, those are the three features.
Yeah. So this is the my 2008 initial 2008 instance that I'm going to gather data from.
Exactly.
Okay.
So here on the if you come into the capture, you can actually point to a SQL Server instance. This is my 2008 source here.
Okay.
And I can specify how long do I really want to run this trace for, and that's here in the duration. And then, you know, the max file size, that's typically the per file size for a trace. You know, I think recommended is 200. You can leave it as 200 unless there is some special needs and stuff like that.
Okay.
And a name for the trace. And when you start it, what happens is it goes and fires a trace capturing event on the SQL Server 2008.
Okay.
So you see here, you know, it's already started the trace capture. You have a nice UI to see, like, you know, how do you measure progress and stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's now doing the production workload capture. It's going to run for 60 minutes, and then you'll have a trace file at the end of this.
Okay, no, I'm kidding. So is there ability, so I do have a question. Is there ability to say, hey, let me just go to the, if I already have maybe a trace that I've already done, can I pull it up in here?
Yeah, you don't have to do the stuff then. You can go to the next step if
you
have that.
Oh, okay, so I can start step two and go, okay, step two and I've already got a trace that I've already captured. Okay.
Yeah, you might typically want like, you know, same workload, but you can replay it on different kind of configurations and stuff like that if you want to.
Cool. That's why the UI is also decoupled that way. So
exactly.
if people have captured trace already, they don't have to go through the same thing again. They can come and replay or you know, things like that.
Very good. Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So going on to the part two, and you know, let me just stop the capture here. We got one person complete. That's good. going on to the replay part. So here, there are a couple of steps in replaying. Basically, the first step is kind of verifying your replaying infrastructure.
Okay.
Now, one key point here is that at this with this release, we don't do the setup of the replay infrastructure. We use distributed replay. Which is already available part of the SQL installation.
Yeah, the distributed replay controller or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. So we do like verification of the setup at this point. So here I have, you know, given like one controller machines and four child machines, and they're already configured that way in the setup, right? And when I go do next, what it's doing, it's kind of like verifying, hey, is the setup really correct? Do I have access, you know?
Yeah.
Are the child and controllers, you know, talking to each other and, you know, things working fine. All right. So it said that, hey, things work fine. Now is the time when we pick the trace. This is what we captured on step one.
Oh, okay.
Remember, you know, the workload capture that we did. We're going to replay.
This is where I'd go say, I've already got one.
Exactly. That's correct. So let me just pull this up from here. I wish I had an automated way to do this, but I don't. So here I give the, you know, the trace file that we captured, and then I say, hey, you know, store the pre-processing output here.
Okay.
So that's basically something to do with the dereplay architecture. It converts the files into an optimized file, right? And then it actually goes and, you know, figures out optimized way to convert these files from trace files to a replay file.
Oh, okay.
And then the third step is actually doing a replay, and you'll see on the UI there is options to point to a particular database instance, and it goes.
Oh, this is where you'd go say, hey, run it against these.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where you do the replay onto the specified databases. So for this scenario where you're upgrading from 2008 to 16, you're going to do it once for 2008 and another time for 2016.
If you remember the architecture diagram, we had two of them, one on A and the other one is on the B. So
can you do those in parallel, or does it run against the A and then B? Or
from the UI, we're doing it one at a time.
One at
but
a time.
We have a command line support where you know you can do it in parallel.
You can kick off both things for both instances.
Okay. That's good. Cool.
So yeah, we have the final screen. I'm not going too far into it. It's going to take a little bit of time. So for the interest of time, now we can actually point to the SQL instance and then say, hey, start my replay.
Okay.
And then it'll go and fire the replay. And you can view the progress just like, you know, you saw the progress in the first step.
So this is where I'd go say, here's my 2008 instance, you know, the instance A, you said.
Exactly.
And then when it's done, now I'll run it against my 2016 instance.
Exactly.
Okay.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then when I'm done, what do I see the output or the results?
So now you have two traces captured from both those replays.
Okay.
And go to the third step. We have a new analysis here. So this is where you provide, like if you see here, trace from source server and trace from target server. So this is where you provide your 2008 and 2016 trace files.
The replay. two Not the source one.
Not the source.
The A prime and the B.
The B prime. Okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right. And then you provide that, and then you know you point to the SQL Server instance where you want to put this analysis reports in.
Okay.
And you know you get the data. Yeah.
Okay.
So let me show you what we have, like an example of some tests that we have done.
So this is how you would view existing reports. These are all the reports that were generated before. Which is one of them, the next going to show you. So this is the insights that you will get into the workload comparison.
Yeah, because I was just going to ask you that right when you were starting. I was going to say, can we save those reports?
Yes.
Type of thing to say, hey.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, if you point to a DB instance, it'll pull up
okay. everything
things that you've done.
So if you notice, all the reports are created with the prefix analysis
okay.
and the name that you've given in the previous screen that Dinesh was showing you. So it'll pull up everything from that database.
Ah,
right.
Okay,
so.
Cool.
The first thing you see here is a representation of your workload. Now, there are two kind of bars here, the blue bars and the green bars.
Okay.
Right. Blue bars mean queries that have seen for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Green bars mean like queries that have previously seen and we've already evaluated that.
Okay.
So it kind of shows how your workload progresses. And this is kind of like a test workload. So you see as time progresses, you know, most of the queries are kind of already evaluated.
Right.
So the goal is to give an insights to, hey, you know, have you captured like a good amount of your workload or is your workload still going on?
Yeah.
You know, do we need to capture for a little bit longer? So that's kind of the insight that we want to provide from this workload representation.
Right. Okay. So this is the, hey, do I have I captured enough
exactly.
information to be able to make a good decision?
So this will
Correct.
Kind of help people like financial institutions, for example, like they have peak hours at like 3 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Okay.
Now that's, or I'm just saying it out, like I don't know what their peak hours are,
right.
but that's what they want to target in order to get a real workload representation.
Okay, did we cover that here? Right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
So this insights will help them, capture at the right time.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
And then this is what, you know, we see, uh-huh. we provide a comprehensive analysis of, you know, what queries errored out, what queries degraded, what queries improved, and things like that when we do an experimentation between two different versions of SQL Server.
Okay.
So this block here, the red block, actually shows the queries that errored out. So let's get into that.
Can you go back? I'm going to ask another hopefully
yeah.
obvious,
yeah,
or
absolutely.
Maybe not obvious question.
Sure.
So this says, ran the test against SQL 16.
Right.
Right. So I've got maybe some queries or procedures that ran. So
Correct.
On the left, I'm saying, okay, the red says, here's queries that came from my 2008 that have errored on 2016.
Correct.
Gotcha.
I mean, there are two, three possibilities, right?
Yeah.
One is queries that worked fine in 2008, but errored out in 2016.
Okay.
And one is like things that worked fine on didn't work fine in 2008, but started working fine on 2016. I mean, that's possible too.
Yeah.
So okay. we kind of show all the combinations here.
Okay.
So for example, if you go in here, right, there are three things, existing errors, new errors, and resolved errors.
Okay.
Existing errors is, you know, these errors, we've seen that in 2008, and we're kind of seeing it in 2016 as well.
Okay.
New errors are like, hey, we didn't see this, but we're now seeing it in 2016.
Yeah, because maybe some T-SQL change.
Some change and some keywords
okay.
not being supported and stuff
yep.
like that. And resolved errors are things we saw in 2008 erroring out, but got resolved in 2016.
Okay.
So this is both, we do like, for example, if you look at some of the errors, it's a compute keyword, right?
Okay.
We stopped supporting compute keyword from 2012
yeah.
onwards. So.
So at least like that DMA kind of tells you, here's the issue that we found.
Yeah,
right? Okay.
exactly. So
okay.
it kind of tells you from a workload perspective. And you can drill down and see like more details on the errors and things like that.
Okay.
If I come back to the main page, and going back to the degraded queries, I mean, so, you know, as a DBA and app owner, I'm trying to figure out, like, what is the impact of running my workload? You know,
yep.
how much of a performance hit am I, you know, incurring by doing this?
Okay.
So this view kind of give you that. So we can see, like, queries, the mean durations of the A, B, and the duration diff and the percentage difference. Let me pick something that's a little bit significant. Maybe one of these. So you can drill down from the query here. One thing to notice here is the query is normalized.
Okay.
The parameters are taken off.
Yeah.
You know, that makes sure that we are sort of, you know, hashing the same query without any parameters.
Right. Okay.
And it tells you like how many times it got executed in A and B, the mean durations, the CPUs, the reads and writes, and things like that. It also gives you a comparison of the query plans. Now, for this version, we have compiled query plans.
Okay.
But if you look at the compiled query plans, you can still see, you know, there is a difference in terms of how the compiled query plans are. So for example, for A, it's showing an average duration of about 47,847. And for B, it's showing much more.
Right.
That's the compiled query plan. And the actual execution data also say the same thing. If you look at it here, you can see that the duration for B, the dotted lines, blue lines on the top, mm-hmm. is much higher than the, you know, the non-dotted blue line, the bold blue lines.
Okay.
And you can see there's a difference in also CPU usage. The B is actually using a little bit more CPU. So for this query, you see a difference in performance in terms of degradation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is the I guess the ammunition you need to go figure out why it degraded and say, hey.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Because right? it's kind of interesting because, you know, we had a couple, Bob Ward on here, and goes, SQL 16 is just faster. And we look at this and I'm like, well, not, you know, in some cases it's not. So, you know, what happened?
Yeah, they might have to go ahead and tweak the query plan
and
then fix it before they can upgrade.
Right, okay.
So. Right.
And that makes sense because, like you said, there's some things that just, you know, don't translate well to 16 because of, you know, keywords degradator, things like that, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're working on adding more data into it as we, you can see more data into it that can help them.
Can this be tool, can this tool at some point, it doesn't support Azure SQL DB, does it, at this point? Or is it just an on-premises?
It doesn't support Azure SQL DB right now, but it does support SQL on VMs, though. It should be the same scenario.
It's the same.
SQL, same base. SQL and SQL on VMs.
Would there be plans, because maybe if I'm thinking about it, hey, I do want to go to because if I'm an ISV or something like that, I'm like, you know what, I would love to go to Azure SQL DB, but is my workload going to translate, and maybe which service tier in Azure SQL database do I need to pick to have the same workload performance? Is that kind of...
Yes, those are things we've talked about.
Okay. I'm not asking for a roadmap or a date or anything like that. Right?
It's been on our minds, and we've been talking about it.
It's a very valid scenario, too.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. It's a valid scenario.
Yeah, because I think, you know, the push toward the PaaS and SaaS, things like that, it's like,
you
know, we could see that kind of going.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay.
Totally.
Cool. Yeah. This is awesome. I love the ability to go, you know, from a workload perspective. And like I think my initial question was both the DMA and
DEA.
Yeah.
It does not stand for, what's that, government agency. Does not stand for that. But I can see these tools, you know, kind of coming together because they both complement each other very well.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
But I think this, you know, what the DMA does not have is, hey, let me look at it from a workload perspective.
Correct.
Right. So how do I, you know, what are the things I need to fix from my query? Like, and can we tap in, now that I'm talking about it, is there a way to tap into the query store in 16 and go, hey, maybe utilize some of that? I don't know. It's kind of thinking out loud a little bit.
Yeah, I think definitely. I think those are things that we are looking into.
Okay.
We're having discussions about that.
So. Cool.
So this is just the V1 of it.
Okay.
I think I was telling you earlier, like we went out live last week.
Okay.
We announced the technical preview at the PaaS Summit
last week.
So it's available to public view and it's downloadable from the download center. So people can take a look at it, use it, give us any feedback. All that stuff.
So in the description of the show, we'll put the link to the download.
Correct.
Absolutely.
And what's the best way for them to provide feedback?
There is a DEA feedback at Microsoft.com. There is an alias that's there. We'll also have a link from the tool that we need to add on to the thing so they can provide us.
All right, so we'll put all that information
And we've already started seeing a lot of downloads since last week, and also we had a few feedbacks coming through the alias. So people have been playing around with it for sure.
Well, you're in SQL PaaS, right? So all those people are going to go, hey, new tool, let me download, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Awesome. This is fantastic. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. We would love to have you back around GA.
Yep.
And as new features come out, because I think as you take some of this feedback and improve the tool, I think it's already awesome, right? That we'd love to, what's newer in this tool.
Sounds good.
Cool. Yep. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.